So I want to share with you thoughts about Tanakh, Shmuel Aleph, Megillat Esther. But I ask Yamin if it's okay that I'll share with you memories from Shalabim, not located in Rehov HaDishon, but I spent my youth, my summers in Kibbutz Shalabim. That's, I don't know if you're familiar with the youth movement Ezra. Do you? Okay. So I was very, very involved with the Ezra movement since my parents came with Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim after the war to Israel. And I used to be, during the summers, walking from 4 o'clock in the morning in the vineyard of Shalabim. And amazing, sweet memories where my dream, when I was in Yeshiva High School, Netiv Meir, that's happened to be Yeshivat Bnei Akiva, but that's okay, you know, we were very, very loyal Ezraim, but my dream was to build a kibbutz in south of Arei Chevron that will work, you know, as farmers half day and will learn half day. So you wonder, so if that's the dream, how come I'm in Chicago and coming to speak to Shalavim? So I spent my army with members of Kibbutz Shalavim. My tent partner was Yoshua Basan, grew up a member of Shalavim Kibbutz. And I can talk about it forever. That's our the most amazing memories. Probably you don't come even close to the Kibbutz today, are you? No, you just have a sign, welcome to Shalavim for women, right? But probably you're not. So maybe I can suggest, once the yeshiva is in Bein Hazmanim, you know, to make a trip and to make sure that those young ladies will volunteer also in the Kibbutz Shalavim, you know. I think they will like it, okay? So in any case, I'm absolutely into my memories instead of my speaking here. So what brings me, what steps I had in life that Shalavim was the dream, and now I'm coming from Chicago. I'll tell you, it's about a sabbatical that was took place. I was a Rebbe in Machon Lev, Jerusalem College of Technology. And somehow the system in Israel requires that whoever works in the universities, but Machon Lev is one of them, has to take a sabbatical outside of the country. Probably it was built for the one that teaches physics or something, that he goes to Harvard. But since everything is equal, so the Rabbanim also have to go to Chutz La'aretz to teach. And that's what brought my family, my wife, myself, with kids, to go in 93 to spend a few months in Chicago. And that's what we feel. We are still in sabbatical. It's the 24th year of sabbatical. And we had amazing experience teaching young ladies that are coming after seminary, include students that were in Shalavim for women, and that's what I ask Yamin, that I'm not going to sell the program, I'm going to share with you Divrei Torah. Okay, so whoever wants to ask me questions about it is welcome to ask, and definitely the Chicago girls, I would like to meet you. So, there is a story, I heard it, and then I saw it printed. A story about the Chidush Harim. As you know, and I'm sure part of your program is to take you to Poland, is that right? So, and probably you'll make a stop in a shtetl that the name is Gur. And you will go there and you will see the tziyun of the Chidush Harim, and next to the Chidush Harim is the Sfat Emet. Chidush Harim was a Talmid of the Kotzke Rebbe, but that's a very specific approach in Chassidut. Think that today learning Sfat Emet is very popular and people are getting so much to find the insights of the Sfat Emet. So the Chidush Harim once met with the Rishoner Rebbe. That's the way I heard the story. And the Rishoner Rebbe asked the Chidush Harim the following question. It sounds like a very unexpected question. The question was, And that's related to something that I'm sure you've learned. He asked him whether the Shaul HaMelech, was he a liar? Haim Shaul HaMelech Chas V'Shalom lo diber emet? Was he a liar? I cannot even say. Liar, I think, is shakran, you know. So, was Shaul HaMelech shakran Chas V'Shalom? That was the question. And the Chiddush Shearim responded by saying two words. Kiyimu v'kiblu. The Rishon Rebbe was amazed. The Hasidim, like many times, didn't understand anything about this conversation. They didn't know what's going on. I think we can come up with an idea from few parts in Shmuel Aleph that brings the Rishon Rebbe to ask the question, was Shaul HaMelech a liar? Anyone wants to give an idea? Was Shaul HaMelech a liar? How come you can even think about it? We all know that when you analyze the Dmuyot of Tanakh, you have to be very careful. Shaul HaMelech, Chazal say, that he sits together with Shmuel HaNavi in the same place in Olam HaEmet. Imi b'mechitzati. So the question is, Shaul HaMelech was a liar? What kind of a question is it? Can you come up with an idea? Why should the Rishon Rebbe ask such a question? Was Shaul HaMelech a liar? So, I'll tell you that in Shmuel Aleph, I think we all know. You all know that in Shmuel Aleph, after Shaul HaMelech became a king, and it's going on, and then he was told by Shmuel HaNavi, Shmuel HaRoeh, he was told that he has to go and to fight against Amalek and to destroy them, as the mitzvah says, Machot imche et zecher Amalek. And to destroy Amalek means what? Everything. Those are one of the three mitzvot that we'll have, hopefully soon. Shalosh mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael b'knisatam la'aretz. One of them is mechiyat Amalek, lemanot la'em melech, livnot et bet ha'bchira, ולמחות את Amalek. So here comes Shmuel, since they just came up with the idea, sim alanu melech. And he comes and he says, you have to go and to fight against Amalek, and you have to do the way the Torah tells you to do it. Machot, imche, et zecher Amalek, means everyone. And was Shaul HaMelech doing it? Like, did Shaul HaMelech destroy the Amalek? No, he didn't. Who he kept alive?
Agag.
And the sheep. And it's so obvious that he didn't do what Shmuel HaNavi told him to do. It's not something that you have to research about it. It's just written that once you see the story in Shmuel, you see it right away. So since he didn't do it, so Shmuel received a mission. That as you look carefully in the Mefarshim, in Chazal, he's not excited about the mission, but the mission says, Nichamti ki himlachti et Shaul. Ribono shel Olam, Hashem tells him, I regret, chas v'shalom kevi'achol, I regret that I made Shaul the king. Because he didn't fulfill, if you want to see, where Shmuel gets the mission to go, and I'll just read to you a few psukim. What Shmuel told Shaul to do. Kwa amar Hashem tzvakot pakadeti et asher asa Amalek l'Yisrael. And then ata lech v'hikita et Amalek v'acharamtem et kol asher lo. V'lo tachmol alav v'emata me'ish ad isha me'olel v'ad yonek mishor v'ad se migamal v'ad chamor. And he was able to capture Agag v'hipos et Agag. It's in Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Chet. Chai. ואת כל העם אחרים לפי חרב, ויחמול שאול והעם על הגג ועל מיטב הצאן והבקר. Then, in פרק ט' ו' פסוק י', וידבר השם אל שמואל אמור, ניחמתי כי המלכתי את שאול למלך. כי שב מאחריי ואת דבריי לא הקים. ואיחר לשמואל ויזעק אל השם כל הלילה, and שמואל goes. And he has to fulfill his mission to tell Shaul, עד כאן. Do you understand my English so far so good? Okay. And then, when he goes to Shaul, and Shaul goes to welcome him, and Shaul says the following words, ויאמר לו שאול, ברוך אתה להשם. He welcomes him, בשם שמיים. Then he says the following words, הקימותי את דבר השם. Means what? I fulfilled what Hashem told me to do. I mean, Hashem told me to that's what it looks like. Hashem told me to destroy Amalek, and I fulfilled it. Hakimoti et dvar Hashem. If I want to put in the words into Shmuel and Avi words, he would turn back to Shaul. He would say, Hakimota et dvar Hashem. Is that right? How can you say it? הקימותי את דבר השם, ויאמר שמואל, and as my teacher used to say, ומה כל הצאן, you know. So, I see the sheep around, ומה כל הצאן באוזניי, וכל הבקר אשר אנוכי שומע. So, how come שאול says, הקימותי את דבר השם? What gives us to understand the question of whom? The reason the rabbi. What was the question? Whether Shaul HaMelech was Chas v'Shalom a liar? You know, it's so clear that you did not. So how come you say Hakimoti et dvar Hashem? So that was the question. Now comes the answer. Two words. Anyone remembers what were the two words? Kimu v'kimlu. Two words that you can find them where? Where in Tanakh we have Kimu v'kimlu alei, what? Megillat Esther. And Chazal teaches us so many things to do with the words Kimu v'kimlu. Kimu ma shekimlu kvar. They were mekabel Torah at the time of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Like Chazal say, kafa alehem har kegigit lo meratzon. They were forced to be mekabel Torah. And now they are coming to the point that Hadu kiblu avimei Achashverosh willingly. Whatever many mefarshim, and it goes back to the Rishonim, to find out what exactly was missing there and what exactly is now. So, the Chidosh Sharim is a response to the Rishon Rebbe says two words. Those words that have to do with the fact that we were mekabel Torah at the time of Purim meratzon. Kimu v'kiblu. So in which way it answers the questions? So the question was, Shaul HaMelech was a liar? So which way, what is the Chidush Yorim saying by those two words? So, ברוך אתה אדוני, מלך העולם, שהכל אשר יהיה לדברו. So, may I just ask you a question? Do you like Purim?
Yes.
What do you like so much about it? It makes me as a parent very nervous. Okay, what?
Candy.
So, just be careful, okay? You can have Purim, I don't know. You can have Purim 2 days, you know, as we did as young people. I lived out of town, so I got the Purim in Yudalet. Then we made sure that we are coming back to Beit Vagan on Tetvav to have double Purim, okay? So, Purim is amazing. Purim is so amazing that the Rambam writes and Chazal tell us that Purim is going to be the Yom Tov that will last forever, okay? It's the essence of the Jewish history. You know, it's what happened, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you know, we just had Haman HaRasha 75 years ago. We are not sure he's Haman HaRasha today. It's not so hard to think about. Purim is a very important day where we put, you know, a view, we put glasses. We see Emunah through situation that is what we call Ester Panim. Everything has to do with Purim is something that You cannot say, okay, it's over. It's not over. We are Jewish. We are Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim. So we celebrate Purim on a momentarily basis. That's the lesson of Purim. You cannot say, okay, it will stop one day. The other way around. It only will be bigger and bigger to understand and to carry emuna through our life. So you like Purim. That's something everyone agrees. So if you want to send a thank you card that we have Purim, to whom you would send a thank you card? Thank you to. To whom? You're going too fast, you know. We want to go in steps, but okay, we'll come to it. What do you say? You said the same thing? Chazal? That's true, we can say thank you to Hashem, to send a thank you card to Hashem. You know, I expected that everyone will tell we have to say thank you to Mordechai and Esther. But I'm jumping into... The truth is, we have to send... Don't take me wrong, it's Adar, please.
I think someone said it by Shaul.
Yeah, but that's what I said. Oh. Can you keep this answer for a second? Okay. So,
I was
going to
say...
Please.
I was
going
to say to
Marissa
Clyde, that because it's a that's why we have it, because
okay.
If they didn't, you know, go along with what Mordechai and Esther wanted,
they
wouldn't have it in the first place.
So it means they follow Mordechai and Esther? That's the Michtav Me'el Yavo, Rav Dessler. It's true. So let's put together all the answers, okay? Let's first send thank you card to Haman. You know, don't take me wrong. It's not because I'll tell you something. Chazal evaluate what Haman did to us. Put us in a place, and then don't take me wrong, it's Adar, and can everything do v'nafuchu. But Haman HaRasha is the one that Chazal say about him, that because of him, we did tshuva. The Lashon of Chazal, G'dola Asarat Tabat, Yoter, Me'48 Nevi'im V'Sheva Nevi'ot She'amdu Lahem LeYisrael. It's greater, the remove of the ring, because of Haman, is greater than 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot. What Haman made us to do tshuva, and as you're saying, to, you know, to follow Mordechai, and to be in the status of Hadur Kiblu Abimei HaShverosh, so thank you, Haman. Yimach Shmo. You know. To whom do we have to say thank you that we have Haman? Welcome. To Shaul HaMelech, to Hashem, everything is Hashem, but to Shaul HaMelech. Because if Shaul HaMelech would listen to Shmuel, we'll not have Haman, why not? No Agag, no Haman HaAgagi. So we have to say thank you to Shaul HaMelech, not killing Agag. Then we have Haman, then we did Tshuva, then we have Purim, and then we have amazing day, or amazing 2 days. So, thank you. Please.
I have a question.
Please. I forgot to tell you, it's a Hasidic story. No questions are welcome, you know. You have to take it as is, but please. Okay?
But if Hashem has a plan, don't you think he would have had another Haman personally anyway? So why does it, in theory, Shaul did something wrong, and yeah, it led to something that was good. But if it needed to happen anyway, it would happen regardless.
I have nothing else to say. I'm telling you, you gave the whole speech. Okay, so, but again, let me tell you the way the Hasidim tell the story, okay? So, it's true. When the Chiddush Yarim responded to the original Rebbe saying, Kimu v'kiblu, okay? So he explained to his Hasidim, I'll tell you, if you look carefully into the words, the words that Shmuel, that Shaul says, can I write here?
Yeah.
Don't want to make any, okay. Okay, Hakimoti Edvar Hashem. Do you see within the word Hakimoti Kimu?
Yeah.
Okay. When the Chiddush Yarim said, Kimu veKimlu, he said, that's what Shaul HaMelech had in mind. So Melech turns to Shmuel and he says, with all respect, Shmuel HaNavi, I had a better plan than you. My tochnit is better than you. You asked me to kill Agag and to destroy Amalek. My plan was, let me keep Agag alive. But here I'm serious, no questions, please. Okay, it's a chassid. You cannot do any. You know, it goes other way, you know, it's in a way. It's deeper than our thoughts. Yoav, so Shaul says, I'll keep Agag alive. And I'll keep Agag alive, and we'll have a man. We'll have a man, we'll do tshuva. We'll have a man, we'll come to the level of G'dolei Asarat Tabat, Yoter M'arba'im Neviim, Sheva Neviot, Sheamdu Lahem Yisrael. All what Shaul HaMelech says by saying Hakimoti, within the word Hakimoti, he says Kimu. And he turns to Shmuel and he says, listen, I have a plan. An amazing plan. That we'll have a man one day. If I'll follow you, it won't happen. So he says, I fulfilled what Hashem wants in a way, ridiculously. You know, it's not, again, everything here is in the environment of Purim. I did a better plan than Ribono Shel Olam's plan. That's what he says by saying Hakimoti, and that's what the Chiddush Se'arim had in mind, saying Kimu v'Kiblu. So the Chassidim are turning back to the Chiddush Se'arim, and they saying, so if the plan is so great, that has to do with what we just heard. If the plan is so great, so why had Shaul had to be replaced? He really did something amazing for the Jewish history. And the answer is, obviously, don't do the plans for Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Ribono Shel Olam wants. That's what Shmuel HaNavi told you to do. Follow what Shmuel HaNavi told you to do. Be'adei kavshi derachman alam alecha. You have to do what Shmuel HaNavi tells you to do. So that's the Hasidic story, and as I told you, you might look at me, Shaul, centuries before Purim, you know, comes up and he says, Hakimoti, because he will have the Kabbalat HaTorah Miratzon, but we made a deal, no questions. It's a Hasidic story, you take it as is, that's it. Okay. But I want to put another part to this story that I think fits very much and also can tell us what to work on when we learn Megillat Esther, when we both, Be'ezrat Hashem, having the Avodah for Purim. You know, so I'm opening another topic, we'll connect them soon. If I want to define the nature of Megillat Esther, I think it's a story of amazing puzzle. If you'll go with your Rabbanim, and Mechanchim, Mechanchot, you'll see that the Mefarshim are putting every part of the story as part of the puzzle. Even parts that you might think, okay, the essence of Megillat Esther we can say in one sentence. We had a gzera, and Hashem saved us. It's actually, we covered, I think, most of the Tanakh right now. But every part of the story, the first letters, the second letters, everything is a perfect timing. That's why we look at Purim as perfect Ashgacha Pratit. Look at this, everything. Like, which part of the Megillah is a perfect Ashgacha Pratit? The king cannot sleep. He's looking, who is in the backyard? Who is in the backyard? Haman. Okay, perfect. Bidyuk, the person that we need him now to take Mordechai and to take him with the horse. If we would speak about the tree, had one purpose at the beginning, but it was switched to a different purpose. So I want to suggest a version of Megillat Esther, and again, since it's Adar and Purim, so I want to say how I would write. If I have to write the Megillat Esther, Chas v'Shalom, don't take me wrong, I would change a part of Megillat Esther. I'll tell you which part. You remember when Mordechai says that Esther has to go to the king? What was her reaction? Does she wants to go to the king? No. She says, no. Ve'ani lo nikreti lavoi lamelech ze 30 yom. And the one that does is not being called, achat dato lehamit. She says, how come you send me to the king? Mordechai tells her, listen, im acharesh tacharishi ba'et hazot, revach ve'atzala yamod la'yehudim mimakom acher. It's your choice. Either you go, either you don't. If you do not, then Ribono Shel Olam will find another ways, as we mentioned before, to save Klal Yisrael. Revach v'atzala hem od le'yudim. And in any case, atu ve'itavich yot tovedu. It will not save your life in any case. So, if I would write Megillat Esther, I'll tell you which way I would write this paragraph of Megillat Esther. I would say the following. Mordechai tells Esther, you have to go to the king. She says, I was not called to the king. While she says, I was not called to the king, guess what happens? I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of text messages. Okay. She gets a text message. And this text message, you know what happens? The king sends her a text. And he says, Esther Amalka, I didn't see you for 30 days. Can you come? It would prevent so many halacha questions. She says, Kasher avadeti, avadeti. She would have to go. It would not be Mirzona. It would be a perfect Megillat Esther story, isn't it? Like perfect timing, perfect, you know, Megillat Esther. That's what Megillat Esther is all about. How does the, you know, history has to do with coincidence. Do you remember when Eliezer searched for a shidduch for Yitzchak? You remember what he says? Hakrena lefanai. But Mikre, as we know, is Rak Me'Hashem. Oh, when Ruth found Boaz, you know, his place, his field. So she comes back and she says, Vayikar Mikrea el Chelkat HaSadeh Asher LeBoaz. So why wouldn't it be perfect to write Megillat Esther, Vayikar Mikrea shel Esther, that she got a text message that she has to come to the king perfect on this time. We'll add it to a long list of perfect timing of Megillat Esther. All of a sudden here, he has to threaten her and to tell her, Imacharesh tacharishi ba'et hazot, revach v'atzalah yamud le'olim makom acher. Why is it so? I think, I want to suggest, I don't know, you know, if you like it or not, in my eyes, she's, you know, I have to be careful the way I say it, because I don't understand about tikkunim, and I don't understand about different things that are above my head. In some ways, but Chazal really made this connection between Esther and Shaul, coming from the same family. Don't forget that Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish, and Shaul is Shaul ben Kish. I think that's the tikkun. The tikkun of what kviyachol, tachat pchadim la'agid, what Shaul missed. Shaul had a different chashbon, and he wanted to say, Akimoti kimu v'kiblu, he has a chashbon. He says, I'll not listen to Shmuel HaNavi, and I'll do it better than him. And Esther says, was asked to go to the king. And who tells her to go to the king? Mordechai, who is part of Sanhedrin, and she Knesset HaGdola. And she has a dilemma, whether I go or not. This decision cannot happen coincidentally. That cannot be a perfect timing. That has to be a decision that she has to make. She has two options, and Mordechai puts the two options clearly in front of her. And here we don't want Hashgacha Pratit. We want to find out whether Esther listens to what Mordechai says or not. And Mordechai tells her, you have an option. And when she decides, I'm listening to Mordechai, because whatever the cheshbon that I have, and whatever the risk that I'm taking, but that's the lesson to be learned from Megillat Esther, that is related to what you mentioned before, Efemunat Chachamim. I think it's not hidden in Megillat Esther. Was Esther telling that she's Jewish? The Megillah, keep listening to the Megillah. And you'll see how many times the Megillah says, En Esther magedet et amah ve'et moladeta. And the Mefarshim are looking, why not? Why she's not walking around and she say, I'm Jewish, to be proud about it. And the Mefarshim had two different ways, opposite ways, to say why she doesn't present herself as Jewish. She comes from the royal family. The Gemara discusses it. But literally, kipshuto. And I think it's one of the Mefarshim. Maybe it's the Gra, I'm not sure. He says, just listen to what the Megillah says. Why she didn't tell that she's not Jewish? She had a chesbon maybe to tell. She had a chesbon maybe not to tell. But the Megillah says very clear why she didn't. Kaasher tziva le'a Mordechai asher lo tagid. You don't know what the right cheshbon is. Okay, my parents told me when they came after the war. So no one had a birth certificate, okay? And know what? Everyone could present himself with any name they wanted, with any age they wanted. So people were running around to tell other people, you know, say that you are so-and-so old. No one had any documents. Coming into Eretz Yisrael, the only document that they had was a number on their arm. My mother went through Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz before. So my mother always told me that some people came to her and they said, you know, make yourself younger. Okay? Some others, my parents came already married because they came, they found each other in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, in a branch of Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim in Germany. They got engaged. They went to Israel, and you know the history, the British didn't let them come in. They had to go back to Cyprus. They got married in Cyprus in a written ketubah with some sandwiches. My mother said the sandwiches were so tasting great. You know, sometimes we make fancy food, and you know. She said everyone from the kibbutz, the chevra from the kibbutz made a sandwich. And the only document they had was a number on their arm. So everyone in mind, what shall I tell? Shall I tell the time? So sometimes you tell, okay, you know, by shiduchim, sometimes people change the numbers, you know. They say she's younger, she's older, he's older, he's younger. But here, they were married already. So someone comes to them, you know, you want to go to pension, you know, earlier, say that you're so-and-so. You want to go, or maybe you want to be maybe hired this year, because people say, oh, he's an older person, so then he's more experienced. Then my mother said, she actually had in mind, let's just say the truth. You know? Who knows what's the better cheshbon? Who makes cheshbonos? Let's just be honest. Okay? That's what she did, and Baruch Hashem. So Esther had two ways. Whether she go, or she goes this way. She will say she's Jewish, she will not say she's Jewish. But the first thing saying she, the story of Megillas Esther has something that is the motif, Abriya Chatichon. My English is not to this level to tell you how to translate Abriya Chatichon, but it's a motif that goes across. It's Emunat Chachamim, what you mention yourself and the Mefarshim talk about it. That's a concept of Adur Kibla Vimei HaShvilosh, and here she follows the Emunat Chachamim, and in a way, no one asks us to stop thinking. Even the mitzvah of Lo Tasum Min HaDavar Asher Yiruchei Amin HaSmol doesn't tell us, you know, you stop thinking, you just listen. We have, Baruch Hashem, are being developed, you know, it's part of learning Torah, and I'm sure you do it, to develop very high level of critical thinking. We have the right and we have the obligation to ask questions. The Chinuch speaks about the mitzvah of Emunat Chachamim, and he says it's the better system. Chachamim, we found sometimes it's even Esther Panim from the Chachamim. But the Avodah, I think, of Megillat Esther, one of many that I came to present here today, is the concept of Emunat Chachamim. That Esther is metaken what kiviyachol, chas v'shalom, Shaul missed. So, what could be a better opportunity to do it here in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh? I feel like just once, you know, you're going, you went to Tzfat already? Maybe? Not yet? You know, I know how many times I went to Tzfat, so many times. Each and every time I come there, I'm sure that some of you were there already anyways, privately, in Tzfat. And you're standing next to the Ari HaKadosh. And you're standing next to the Tziyun of the Bet Yosef, Marana Bet Yosef. And you feel like so special about being close to Gedolei Yisrael, to strengthen your Emunat Chachamim. I'll tell you a true personal story. And I'll conclude with that. I feel like I'm talking. It's okay, so. I went to Yeshivat Ma'alot. We founded Yeshivat Ma'alot in 1975. It was under Yeshivat HaKotel because at the time we couldn't get a sure time that to get another Yeshivat Hesder. So my Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Aryeh Bina, you might know the name Aaron Bina because he is the one that is the head of Netiv Aryeh. if you ever heard about Nativa. Okay, so they didn't. So, but Nativa is named after Imar Rosh Yeshiva, Rebar Yabina. So he took a group of Bachurim to start the yeshiva in Ma'alot. And we went there, and I spent 6 years in Ma'alot. My army service was through Yeshivat Ma'alot. And it was right after a terrible terror attack that happened in Ma'alot, famous with the young kids from Tzfat that went to Tiul and they stayed overnight in Ma'alot. It was a terrible thing. So, after we got married, I was asked by a school of Kibbutz Eilon. Kibbutz Eilon, I think it's Kibbutz Shel HaShomer HaTzair, was a local kibbutz, a local school for many kibbutzim on the border with Lebanon. And I was asked to come to speak about Judaism. An amazing young teenagers, high school. I was shocked when I was asked, and I don't want to, by one of the students in my introduction to what Yahadut is, I mentioned the word tefillin. One of the young ladies came over to me, she said, what is tefillin? And then they started to ask me different philosophy questions. I'm not a philosopher. No, I'm not. So they asked me how they can learn more about Yahadut. And I suggested that if they want to have a tour in the Otzar Sforim, in the library that we have in the yeshiva in Ma'alot, I can try to give them a tour and to show them that's the Rambam, that's the Mishnah, that's the Talmud Bavli, that's the Talmud Yerushalmi. And I'll tell them about each and every sefer, what's the background. So a group of young people came from Kibbutz Elon school to meet with me and my wife in the Otzar Sforim of Yeshivat Ma'alot. And that's all what I did. I prepared myself to tell them about the Chachmei Yisrael Ledorotehem, different Chachmei Yisrael, that they will get to know who do we have, who are Chachamim that we have, when was the Rambam, what the Rambam wrote. Most of them were Anshei HaEshkolot, Ishei HaKolbo. The Rambam is the philosopher of Moreh Nevuchim, the Rambam is the Posek of the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam is the Mefaresh HaMishnah. The Rambam has a language in Lashon HaKodesh that no one from the academia can know the beauty of the Lashon HaKodesh of the Rambam to what he wrote in the Lashon HaKodesh. Some of his writings were in Arabic and was translated. I must tell you, once they learn about our Chachamim, a group of people from this visit, they live in Ma'alot till today. They are part of an organization of Kiruv. Not talking one question about what is God or what God can do. I'm not saying that it's unnecessary, but I just don't know. We are ma'aminim, bnei ma'aminim. But to introduce people to the concept of emunat chachamim, to understand mi ha heroes shelanu. I can go on and on and speak about it. I remember once a speech that Begin gave in the Knesset about where was the world at the time of the Rambam. I think here you have an amazing opportunity. Ribono Shel Olam, Baruch Hashem, planted Chachmei Yisrael all over the world. And actually a lot of what was accomplished in the history of our library accomplished outside of the country. But here you have an amazing opportunity to be in seminary in seminary that carries the name Shalavim, that I told her what it means to me, okay? And to strengthen Emunat Chachamim, and Hashem Be'ezrat Hashem will direct you Alechet Michael El Chaim. And I believe that the percentage of the people that are in Shalavim today going back to the States and then coming back and do Aliyah is probably a very highly percentage, okay? So Ribono Shel Olam will direct you to accomplish and to go Michael El Chaim, to build Be'ezrat Hashem families, healthy families, Torah families, and Mashiach Be'ezrat Hashem will come soon. Thank you very much for listening.
Amen. We'd like to thank our elders for sharing words of Torah and inspiration.